When you hear what sounds like a great idea, you want to share it. When you see a community working together to achieve a worthy goal, it can be infectious. When you hear it is some government initiative, we may all be a little conditioned to be skeptical. But the state of Tennessee wants the world to know they're not waiting for anyone. Not anyone in the gridlocked federal government or the often stingy, short-term thinking private sector. They're going to make a bold play to improve education in their state on their own. This week, Tennessee Governor Bill Haslam announced a plan, the Tennessee Promise, to make the state's 13 community colleges and dozens of vocational schools essentially free. No tuition, no fees. The change, which requires state legislative approval, looks like a political winner in the volunteer state. Joining us now is someone who would be directly affected by this tuition-free plan, Dr. Janice Gillum, president of Northeast State Community College. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
As the president of one of the community colleges in Tennessee, does it thrill you that the government wants to make all tuition free, or does that, you know, suddenly strike at your business model a little bit?
Oh, it's absolutely wonderful. It's a truly historic day for community colleges in Tennessee. And the state has a reserve of the lottery funds that they're going to put away into an endowment, pending legislation approval. So it's very exciting.
Do you think this will get approved?
It appears so, and we're anxiously awaiting.
All right, so let's talk about this from the educational policy standpoint. I mean, on one level, the governor is being very, very innovative. But there's also an argument to be made that he's basically just recognizing the fact that the community college system has been backstopping the inadequacies in the public school system for decades, and he's just basically incorporating the community colleges into the public schools.
You could say that, but basically we're working together, the public schools and the community colleges. Northeast State was one of the first colleges to integrate the Bridge math course, which was our revised lab-based, mastery-based, competency-based version of developmental math, and we have now taken that to the high schools. And the governor supported us on that initiative as well, $1 million to pay for the books and other materials and access to the internet. So these students can pass their math competencies before they ever leave high school, and that's going to, in itself, make a huge difference as we try to the governor's initiative, Drive to 55, is to take us from 35% of citizens without a college degree or certificate to 55% by 2025. So that's a very bold initiative and kind of started with the Complete College Tennessee Act back in 2010. So we are on a roll. Our public schools have made the most progress of any state and probably the largest jump in history for a public school. So we're all working together, and the governor is leading this effort.
Now, describe for me, as the president of a community college, describe that transition for young people going from a senior in high school to a community college and how you can capitalize on what's going on there.
Well, it's much easier at the community college than a university. They can still stay at home with parents and not have to pay out a lot of expenses for boarding. But we've worked with high school students for years. We have a program called College Access, and our staff helps students transition, whether it be from the GED or the new high school equivalency diploma program or just from high school itself. So there's so many opportunities for our students. Once the light bulb turns on, we had a student just this spring transferred with a full ride to Columbia University, and just it was an outstanding opportunity for her. But I'm a community college graduate myself. I went to Western Carolina and NC State University to get my degree. So we can get you there from Northeast State.
Well, I love your enthusiasm. You really think that's your job, turning on light bulbs in high school students?
Absolutely, and letting them know, giving them confidence. That's the biggest challenge that we face, is giving those students confidence that they can actually do this.
To states around the United States who are listening to you and are looking at the community college system and who might be a little more cynical than you sound, convince us that the community colleges don't really simply amount to a kind of a dumping ground for failures in the public schools, that this is actually an educational engine for providing opportunity in the state.
It absolutely is. And some of our students may complete in 2 years, but most take 3 to 6 years. As myself, I was working full time. I couldn't go to school full time. So I believe strongly that this is a system that works. It takes a little more time for some students, but we are integrating the guided pathway systems, cohorts, structured learning classes so that students can get on track, provide direction for them to complete and to coach them and to mentor them through this process. And we believe we're changing lives every day.
On the front lines of what we might call the 21st century economy, Dr. Janice Gillum, president of Northeast State Community College in Blountville, Tennessee. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
We've got more evidence that Tennessee could be a model of future innovation and thinking. This state was once a hub for manufacturing and transportation. The railroads of yesteryear have become the FedEx of today. And I haven't even mentioned Nashville's impact on popular culture in America and the world, for that matter. Maybe you should just move to Chattanooga, a city of barely more than 160,000 people. Why? Well, it operates the fastest citywide internet network in the United States. For only $70 a month, you can access a 1 gigabit per second internet speed in every Chattanooga home and business. That's a 50 times faster speed than anywhere in the country. You'd have to move to Hong Kong to get that kind of service. Download a movie in seconds, upload your just-produced HD music video also in seconds. How did the mid-sized southern city find itself on the frontier of internet technology? What has it meant for a once outdated and struggling economy? This is no Chattanooga choo-choo. It's a bullet train of internet infrastructure. Andy Burke, mayor of Chattanooga, Tennessee, joins us. Mayor, welcome.
Hello, it's great to be here.
How'd you get this up and running? Whose idea was it? How long has it been going?
Well, EPB, which is our local electric utility, decided in the late 2000s to apply for a grant from the Department of Energy related to the stimulus to build out its fiber optic network for the smart grid. Along with the smart grid came this gigabit per second capacity, which we've used over the last several years as it's gotten up and running.
And this is available to all residences and businesses?
We have the fastest, most pervasive, cheapest internet in the country. We're talking about 1 gig per second, and it's $70 per month.
And what can you do? I mean, what can you do from your smartphone? What can you do from your laptop, your computer, your iPad?
Well, you and I both know that you don't need gigabit per second capacity to run Google.com faster. What you do need it for is the things that you were talking about earlier. If you want to do really complicated video uploads and downloads, if you want to test tomorrow's technology today, Chattanooga, Tennessee is the place to do it.
And that's presumably why Drew Belts, co-founder of Fancy Rhino, a creative agency in Chattanooga specializing in video, web, and design, is pretty happy in Chattanooga. Drew, are you there?
I am. Hey, hey.
And what's the 1 gigabit per second capacity do for you?
Well, you know, it's kind of this uber powerful weapon that we don't actually know how to use yet. It's an amazing moment for us to have this available. As a video production company, we're looking forward to how we'll use it in the coming years. But to, in all honestness, we all don't know how to use it yet. It's so much power.
And that means potentially you'll need to be hiring people to actually fill this capacity to really take advantage of what's an opportunity that, you know, the sky's the limit.
Yeah, and, you know, other cities are going to have to come along for us to really make full use of this with gigabit networks of their own. Because, for instance, in our place right now, it really only means something to people inside of Chattanooga. It's like that scene in Willy Wonka where they send chocolate bars across the room. They get smaller on the other end if there's not the same line happening. So we've got a gigabit here, but we need other people to have it for it to really mean something.
Mayor Burke, how's that going to work, and who would you love to collaborate with to really show the sort of networking capability city to city?
Well, our fiber optic network, to me, is the basic infrastructure that you're going to need to operate over the course of this innovation century. If you think about what highways or railroads were in the 20th century, in the 21st century, it's the technology infrastructure that really matters. I think what you'll see is more partnerships across cities as more places come online with this. Just today, for example, we're launching the Gigabit Community Fund in Chattanooga. That's a partnership with the National Science Foundation and Mozilla to bring $150,000 to Chattanooga just to develop apps that will run our gigabit per second network. We hope to start partnering with people across the country to show how this can really be a generator of economic activity throughout our country.
Now, you got 55 businesses on board, right?
We do. We have people from all across the city who are excited, in particular because it is affordable here.
And the subscription rate, though, for residents, it's really only about 8%. So you've got some work to do there to get the message out.
We do, and I think people understand that they don't necessarily need that gig capacity right now at their residence. But again, for us, it's a matter of changing the conception of ourselves. That's a big part of it. We now think of Chattanooga, Tennessee, a mid-sized southern city, as a place for innovation and creativity. It generates economic activity for us in terms of bringing real jobs. And then it's also a selling point so that as we talk to people who are thinking about locating here or expanding here, they know that they have the infrastructure to run their apps and their computer models for decades to come.
You know, to both of you before we go, do you think that, I mean, it's great to have a competitive advantage, and Chattanooga clearly does for a moment here, but do you think internet service of this scale is like a utility, like the water system, something that should be provided free to enable, activities in cities the size of Chattanooga? Andy and then Drew.
Well, we really have been trying to figure out the best ways to get as many of our citizens as possible on this. One thing that we've got to do is use this to bridge the digital divide, because we know too many Chattanoogans, despite having 600 square miles of gigabit per second capacity, that too many of us don't have true access to it. But on a practical level, we also know that we have this great resource, but that at least for the moment, the way in which it will truly make a difference is for those companies and entrepreneurs who know how to take advantage of it in a way that typical residents like me, who just want to surf the internet on a regular basis, will not.
Drew Belts, final thought.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's pretty cheap at this point, and we're all pretty excited to begin to experiment with it. Whether or not it needs to be free, I think, will be ours to say in the next few years as we really actually take advantage of it the way we take advantage of other utilities.
Well, you're the laboratory there in Chattanooga. Drew Belts, co-founder of Fancy Rhino, a creative agency specializing in video, web, and design. Andy Burke, the mayor of Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Coming up, another big discussion going on in America today, where cigarettes should be bought, where they shouldn't be bought, and the continued sort of diminishing of the role of tobacco in America. You know about the CVS decision to stop selling tobacco products. What do you think about it? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.